This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here, Rob Center there. And we have two men on the news line now to talk about a new book that's out. I've had the pleasure of reading some of it already. Boxed Out of the NBA, Remembering the Eastern Professional Basketball League. We're glad to say we have the co-authors on the line. Syl Sobel is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much for having us, Mark.
I do appreciate it. And Jay Rosenstein is on the line. Both are Scranton natives, and both have a fascination with this history, and they have remembrances of some of it and connections to some of it as well. Thank you for calling in, Jay.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
I do appreciate that. Okay, so let's start out with just a quick overview of the Eastern Basketball League. A lot of folks may remember there was a Sunbury Mercury's team around here. They may not remember where they played or what they were all about. So give us a quick overview of the Eastern Basketball League.
Well, the league started off in 1946. It was during a time right following the World War II. There was a lot of veterans coming back who wanted to play ball and earn a little money. People had some spare change, so they wanted entertainment and recreation. So a bunch of basketball leagues were starting up. The Eastern League was one of them. The NBA actually started 6 weeks later, so the Eastern League predated the NBA. And the league started off in six towns in eastern Pennsylvania, Sunbury being one of them. And the Mercurys, of course, are one of the longtime franchises in the Eastern League. They stayed for many, many years. You had teams in towns like Wilkes-Barre and Allentown and Hazleton as well. Scranton eventually joined the league in the 1950s. And the league actually became the home. It was like the second best professional basketball league in the country. Actually, in the world, because the NBA eventually, once it formed and the other professional leagues kind of fell by the wayside during the 1950s, there were only 8 to 10 teams in the NBA. So the Eastern League became the second best league in the country. Think about it, there were only 10 teams in the NBA with 10 players per team. That's 100. Today there are 450 players in the NBA. So the Eastern League was the home of really some really incredibly talented players who would have been NBA players today. The league existed until 1978. Really the beginning of the end for the Eastern League was the ABA in 1967, which took some of the top players away from the Eastern League. And it existed until 1978, late 70s, when it actually kind of transformed into the Continental Basketball Association, because the smaller towns could no longer support professional basketball teams. So the Continental consisted of slightly larger towns with larger arenas, and instead of being located in eastern Pennsylvania, was actually a Continental League. Actually had a team in Alaska. So, but during its time, the Eastern League was a great league, great players, and a lot of fun for the people in the various towns around Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and even up into Connecticut eventually.
What were some of the other dynamics that were at play here? Communities might have been a little bit more cohesive and individuals less independent, so folks were more interested in going out to do places. For example, in Sunbury, going down to the high school to watch the Sunbury Mercurys play might be a little bit more common. You have the television is not quite as strong a presence in people's lives. See, give us some of the other subtle dynamics that are really helping the Eastern Basketball League become a thriving industry in this part of the country.
Well, you're exactly right.
Phil, you want to take that?
Rivalries back then. I mean, kind of still emanating from the old Coal Town rivalry. So there were great rivalries between Sunbury and Williamsport, for example, stemming back to the days when they had baseball teams, when the coal companies had baseball teams. Scranton Wilkes-Barre was a great rivalry. So that was part of it. As you said, there was no cable television. The NBA was on TV maybe once a week on Sundays. So people really enjoyed their Eastern League basketball. Plus, these are very talented players. You were getting, as I said, the second best 100 really were playing in the Eastern League. So these were guys that people were reading about in the newspapers, and here they were playing in their small town. So that created just a great deal of excitement and passion, and people appreciated the high quality of basketball they were seeing.
And so, Jay, you have traveling through Sunbury and playing for Sunbury some of the greatest basketball players in the country right here in Sunbury, down at the high school.
Exactly. Julius McCoy and his brother Jim McCoy. Julius McCoy was amazing. He should have been in the NBA. Others I can mention, John Richter, great, great player. He was a first-round pick of Celtics, and was very important to the Sunbury team for years. John Chaney, the great John Chaney, who unfortunately, as you probably know, passed away this past year. John Chaney, he basketball player before being known as a great college coach. And I think this Sunbury is a great example of a feel-good story. You've got a population of something like 15, at least in the 50s, 60s, population of about 15,000 people, and they turned out really good crowds. Usually, like 900 fans would show up for these games every weekend, and there's a source of pride for these fans. The players and for the cities.
And you have race is a factor here because blacks are becoming more accepted in the professional sporting leagues, and they're getting pushed out of the NBA. So Jay, tell us about that dynamic.
Well, I think Syl, you've got a better feel for that. Do you want to take it, Syl?
Sure. Exactly. I mean, the NBA. Didn't integrate. It took its first black players in 1950. It took four black players. And through the 50s and early part of the 60s, there was what most, players and league officials would admit was an informal quota of no more than two or three African-American players for each team in the NBA. So that really left the Eastern League as the only or the next best professional league available talented African-American players. So you had some excellent, excellent ball players who would be NBA stars today who were kind of shut out of the NBA, and they ended up in the Eastern League. And, Jay mentioned a few of them who played in Sunbury, of course, John Chaney, Julius and Jim McCoy, Walter Mangum. But throughout the Eastern League, you had great talent like Tommy Heman and Wally Choice and Richie Gaines, and then Hal King Lear. I mean, one of the great nicknames of all time, Hal King Lear, a NCAA star for Temple, who was one of the leading scorers in the Eastern League. He played for Easton. He played for Camden, New Jersey. Just an amazing talent. Stacy Arsenault. The list goes on and on. So it really wasn't until the mid-60s. I mean, the Eastern League had the first all-black starting lineup in Hazleton in professional basketball in the 1955-56 season. It wasn't until 9 years later that the NBA, the 1964 Boston Celtics, had the first all-black starting lineup in the NBA. So the Eastern League was way ahead of the NBA when it came to integration. And, by the early 1960s, the Eastern League was probably predominantly African-American, maybe about 60 to 40 black players to white players. So it was, a great place for African-American players to land, but it was unfortunate that they did not have the opportunity to play in the NBA. So what this does is it gives some recognition to some great talented players who never really got the opportunity they deserve.
Jay, at some point, and we'll have to be brief here, we're just about out of time, but at some point, a league that started out specifically to be wholesome and certainly crime-free gets touched by a gambling scandal. So recount that briefly.
Sure. Very quickly, that was back in early 1950s, specifically a college basketball gambling scandal in 1951. When there are more than 30 players, including some of the best players in the country, were found guilty of taking bribes for gamblers wanting to fix six games. These players, these are young kids, mostly didn't realize what they were doing and so on, wanted some money. These players were penalized not just by maybe some jail time, but also the NBA banned all of the players for life. Any of those players in that scandal banned them for life. They could not ever go to the NBA. And that was what happened. What that meant was great players like Sherman White of Long Island University and Bill Spivey of Kentucky, they couldn't play in the NBA. Where did they go? To the Eastern League. And these great players brought other great players with them. And that was a big, big change for the league.
What would it have taken for the Eastern Basketball League to survive? I'll start with Jay, and I'll let Sil measure in on that, and then we'll have to get a closing remark. Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, God, what would it take? Bigger crowds, and I think coverage of newspapers, newspaper coverage of games before, during, and before and after the games. What else?
But the environment existed. You know, it's just there were certain things, but the environment existed that could help it. Sil, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, it was a product of its time. I mean, to be honest with you, it was a product of its time, and the evolution was natural. As the NBA, well, as the ABA first came, and then the NBA came, and cable television, as you said, the professional basketball grew. There was more of a thirst for it, more of a hunger for it. It expanded. It took the talented players. People were watching games on TV, and there was no longer this market for a second tier league in small towns. So as the talent. As the NBA expanded and merged with the ABA, and more great players were playing now top tier professional basketball, people were watching games on TV. There was no longer a need for a minor league like the Eastern League. So you can't really stop progress. It served its purpose, but as professional basketball expanded, it was really no longer necessary. Sad to say, but it was a great moment in time and a great opportunity for those of us who grew up in Grant, Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton, Sunbury, Williamsport, and various other towns. It was a moment in history.
All right, Jay, we'll give you the last word.
I don't know. Can we promote our book a bit, maybe?
Yes, please do. You got 1 minute. Yep, go ahead. You got 1 minute. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'll just say this real fast. Sil and I have known each other for about 60 years. We grew up in Scranton together, and our parents, our dads, we went with them the game starting those early years. And we thought, over the years we talked about we got to we should be writing a book about this league. And finally we did. Glad we did, and we regret missing out players who've passed away in the recent years, like John Chaney and Howie Landa, but the players so appreciated this book, and there are so many great stories in there, so just recommend it for just recommending it. If that's okay to put in the plug.
Absolutely. Please. That's why we're here. Thank you so much, Jay Rosenstein, Scranton native, and Syl Sobel. Thank you both so much for authoring the book. I'll tell folks the title and where to get it in a moment. But thank you both for checking in today.
Thanks for having us, Mark. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Do appreciate that. Syl Sobel and Jay Rosenstein, authors of Boxed Out of the NBA, Remembering the Eastern Professional Basketball League, new book out, available at Amazon.com. Extensive references to the role of the Sunbury Mercurys in playing at the high school and the great players who lived in and around Sunbury and had day jobs, but then will play professional basketball at night at the old Sunbury High School, which is the outer structure is still there, but the gymnasium broken up into important classroom sections in the school, but still the building remains.